When I first looked at the readings for today, I had a question in my mind: how can that first reading be related to the gospel reading? Because, you know, that's what the church tries to do, is to make that first reading somehow support a theme that's in the gospel. And that wasn't really clear to me at first. But then the more I began to think about it and reread it, what began to stand out for me was the reference to Satan in both readings. You know, in that first reading, we have, in a sense, Satan's victory. He has managed to convince Adam and Eve that maybe God could not be trusted. You know, maybe God isn't being totally honest with you. And if you do the things that God has forbidden you to do, you're going to be like gods. You will know what's right and wrong. You can decide that for yourself. And they fell for it. And of course, we know the results: sin and death, suffering, all of that came with it. But right at the end of that first reading, it talks about the fact that one day, it uses the phrase, a descendant of the woman would crush the head of Satan. Now, if you go to the gospel reading, that prophecy is beginning to be fulfilled in the actions of Jesus. He is casting out Satan. Now, it will be fully fulfilled only with his death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But already in those first actions, the fulfillment is beginning. Satan is being conquered. Sin will be overdone. But we need to go and take a look at something else in the gospel if we're going to fully understand it, or at least more fully understand it. And that is, if you'll notice, at the beginning of the gospel reading today, it talks about the family of Jesus, and we're not sure, but probably cousins, maybe nieces and nephews. And given the cultural situation of the time, probably somebody that was older than Jesus. They're coming, it says, to seize him, because they're beginning to maybe think he's a little bit out of his mind, or maybe they're afraid that the authorities are going to get him, or maybe they're just embarrassed by him. But whatever, it says they came to seize him. But then Mark drops that, and he goes into the dialogue between the scribes and Jesus about casting out demons. And then only after he's finished that dialogue does he come back to the family. Now, what's going on there? Well, Mark has a pattern of that. If he has an event he wants to emphasize and also relate it to another event, he will at times begin, interject something else into the story, and then come back and end with what he began with. And that's what he does here. He begins with the family, he interjects the part about Satan and the dialogue, then he comes back and talks about the family again, wanting to see Jesus. It's a way for him to connect family and Satan. So let's take a look at that. What is Mark really trying to convey to us? Well, right at the end of that passage, Jesus says something that could almost be taken as offensive. It's like his mother and his brothers aren't so important, but it's whoever does the will of God. And of course, that would have been Mary to the highest degree, but the people wouldn't have known that. He says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Scripture scholars think that what is happening here is that Mark is trying to tell us that Jesus, in a sense, is creating a new order. It's no longer the biological family that is of highest importance. It is now the new family that is being created in Christ Jesus. You know, I've talked a lot about we are members of the body of Christ. We become a community of believers. And Mark is pointing out for us that that really is from now on the family that we must really connect with, that community of believers. Because it is in that community that we are going to find the strength and the power to overcome the forces of evil, the forces of Satan. It's a very important message for us. He's not saying that the family is unimportant, the biological family. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that needs to be connected to the family of believers. And that our real strength will come in that union with those who are fellow believers in Christ Jesus. And I think we can see that. You know, when the community of faith is strong, we are a lot stronger in our struggle against evil. But when we begin to isolate ourselves, whether it's isolate ourselves as individuals or even isolate ourselves as a whole family, then somehow we lose strength to follow the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in reality, that's one of the great struggles of the church in this country today. We are beginning to lose that sense of the community of believers. As there's much more this emphasis on, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need a church. I don't need a community. I can just pray to Jesus and he'll tell me what to do and I'll do it. Well, we know that isn't working really well. And as more and more people want to do that, our communities of faith are losing strength and losing vibrancy. And of course, when that happens, less and less of us gather. Because people come, there's no life, they don't come back. One of the statistics I heard this week was the majority of people who leave the Catholic Church don't leave because of doctrine. They leave because they don't feel welcome. In other words, they came, they didn't quite feel they fit in. Nobody was really around to welcome them. They didn't come back. Because we've lost that sense that we are a community of believers and that we must support one another in Christ Jesus. And that our greatest identity now is we have been reborn into Christ Jesus. We are members of the body of Christ. And out of that oneness with Christ Jesus, we must find our strength. We must find our ability to believe, to have hope. All of that comes because we are the body of Christ. We are members of Christ Jesus. Remember one of the lines of Jesus. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Somehow, all those human relationships have to be secondary to our relationship with Christ Jesus. In a sense, what I'm saying is a focus that I've been trying to talk about, maybe more than you want to hear, I'm not sure. But it is that oneness of ours with Christ. And the very reason that the Lord Jesus came was to gather us to himself, to make us one with him. And the more we open our hearts up to that, the more we will truly become one, and the more strength we will have to live as the Lord Jesus has taught us. The more we separate ourselves from that, the less ability we will really have to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.